Yes, it is Tuesday, April 16. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Yes, with Loz and Pup away. Loz will be back later in the week. Today, off the bench, we've got Brad Rosen and Stuart Clark joining us. And what about this one? I don't know what Loz has promised people, but hey, a bit old. I asked Loz at the BSB lunch what he was going to do for rugby league in Holland in his new role. His reply was, I'll just put you straight into the World Cup. I hope he is putting that on the agenda the next couple of days, the Orange Spud sending that one through.
Oh, Orange Spud. Don't offer me hold my breath, but I reckon he might bring it up.
I tell you what he could do. He'll have to do a reconnaissance mission there just to check it out. So Loz might have to go to Holland for a little bit just to...
I think he'd be all right with that.
Facilities. Yeah. Making sure... Do a recce.
Loz in Amsterdam. That'd be an interesting one. Make that a reality show.
Hey, I was just before we get to Danny, I was thinking about Phil Smythe in the break and just some random basketball from the 80s. When I grew up, because I used to like basketball when I was a kid.
Where were you?
I was down south in Cronulla.
Okay, yeah, yep.
But, you know, someone like Larry Sangstock, was
yes.
he? Yeah. What, he had
brilliant.
A nickname, I can't remember.
So Larry Sangstock is he's the grand final medal, like as in the Clive Churchill,
oh, right.
is named after Larry
right.
Sangstock.
Right.
So it's Larry Sangstock medal and legend about sport, no question.
Just back in there, I remember all those blokes.
Yeah.
What is Steve Carfine, the magic man? I used to do a little bit of media.
I was with
him
on the weekend. So Steve's
coaches
great guy.
Schools, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's now at Redham.
Yeah.
He did some Scots. He's done at Barker. He's been around. So obviously, when he finished basketball, he was the face of Foxtel, right?
Yeah.
And he and John Casey.
Yes.
And when I first started commentating, which was about 10 years ago, it was with Steve and it was awesome. And I remember ringing him.
Is he still cool?
He's the coolest dude. So I had like his photos up on my wall when I was growing up.
Yeah.
That's who I wanted to be. And then to be able to commentate with him was awesome.
Yeah, right.
He is the coolest dude.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Him and my childhood, him and Billy Woods, Saturday afternoon.
Billy Woods.
Billy Woods.
Called some games with Billy. That he's a legend.
That was unmissable.
That guy, I tell you, if you travel with him, because we had to travel sometimes ago, the fastest walker to a plane I've ever done. Mate, I did my hamstrings chasing after that bloke. Unbelievably walks quick. I was like, why are you walking so quick, Billy? And he's like, mate, I've missed a plane once. I'm not doing that again.
Oh, Billy. So he used to, when he did RPM, Billy, with the remote,
he was motorsport for years.
He worked with Barry Sheen a lot. Remember the motorcycle rider?
Yes.
He died of cancer maybe 15 years
He's
ago.
He's got some great stories about Barry.
Can't repeat any of them on this show, by the way, but if you ever get Bill and talk to him about Barry.
I've had done that.
You're going to have to tell me off air. I'm intrigued.
A couple of Reds, and they are the greatest stories he's got.
Motor racing stories. Proper.
Okay.
Can't tell you now.
Brilliant.
Speaking of hamstrings, you're still playing...
45s, overs 45s. Hamstrings
football,
are a bit,
soccer.
Football, yeah. Hamstrings are a bit sore today.
Okay.
After the weekend.
You played cricket at the end of the season still.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of running around in cricket. You got to remember, I don't bowl a lot because it hurts.
But you still do bowl.
I bowl a few overs here and there.
How long's the run-up?
No, 4 or 5 paces. Like, just to play with my son and a lot of the kids.
What is it? Knees? Ankles?
Hamstrings.
Hamstrings.
Hamstrings and backs.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Just age shall not weary them unless you want
to. Did you have any major injuries with it when you played?
I had lots of back injuries.
Just
like stock standard stuff that
happens
playing sport. You hurt yourself. But yeah, played on the weekend. A bit warm for the over 45s on the weekend. The old defibrillator wasn't far away.
Jeez.
I'm calling for drinks, mate. Get some water out here, would you? It's hot. Ridiculous. Good fun. Bunch of old blokes running
What did
around.
They yell back? Mate, it's only been the first over.
It's only been 15 minutes. You've got another 75 to go.
Mate, we're 4 balls into the game.
All right. Coming up, we've got a lot to talk about in the world of footy in the NRL, and Denny Wilder from Nine News is next. Denny, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, gents. See, hasn't Laurie heard of Zoom? He couldn't have zoomed into this call, board meeting.
Well, let me just tell you, we've had some technical challenges with Loz previously in his overseas venture.
It's not his strength, is it?
No. No, and nothing beats when he has the camera set up and it's just, it looks straight up his nose and we know about his hooter.
But he was good in Vegas. He was,
We got by, but I don't know what this trip entails. But he said, I'm advancing the interests of the game, and He wants to take it to India and all these sorts of big dreams that he's got.
Yeah. Rupert Daly. Yeah.
As a ring to
remember those promises.
All right. Now, Souths. Jason Demetrio, I saw him walking into Heffernan Park there yesterday on the news last night. So, well, where's it at and where does it all land, Denny?
He was happy that, I'm sure he's happy that we had a camera waiting for him. But look, it does show, though, that this was the day he was, yesterday was the day he was supposed to not have a job, right? And there he is in the bye week when Souths don't really have to be in there. He was in there working and committed to the job. And I asked Jason for an interview yesterday. He politely declined, as you could imagine. And what he is saying, though, is that he'll happily talk when things are back on track in the next few weeks. But whether that actually happens or not, I think it's, I don't know. It feels a little bit like things have just been delayed, doesn't it? It feels like if they had those, there is no question. If people want, they want to deny interest in Mal and all that sort of stuff. There is no question there were approaches made, whether or not it was with the direct authority of the club. That's up to the club to tell us eventually. But when people are leaking or saying things like that, you know the coach is in proper trouble, isn't he? The journos aren't making this stuff up. As much as some people might want to say that, none of this is made up, and there was a very real chance that he could have been gone. But we did say last week it was dependent on them showing some effort, and they did show some effort and commitment to the cause. And you've got to question where that's been for the last few weeks before that, you know. And look, I feel like all I've done this year is follow South. I was with them in San Diego. I was with them in Vegas. I've been at the majority of their, you know, training or media sessions I've had this year. I wasn't there for the one where Jason shut down the presser after 27 seconds after Zach Bailey asked him a couple of questions. It was quite good theatre. But you just get the feeling that there's still more to play out here. The shadow of Wayne Bennett is hanging heavily over the club. There's talk that Russell Crowe wants him, and there's talk that other people there want Wayne. And I actually think Wayne would be open to the idea. I don't think he's gonna. You're never going to hear him come out and say it directly. But it's the old, reach out to a person nearby him, and they can have a chat, and that's how Wayne operates. So I don't think Jason's safe. Is Jason the only issue at South? Probably not. I definitely don't think he's safe. But he's hanging tough, and he's hanging in there. But there's a lot of stuff going on at the Rabbitohs at the moment.
Danny, did you see that when you were with them overseas?
I have to be really honest. I was looking for it because we all knew how they finished last year.
Yeah.
We all knew that they nosedived, like very few clubs have nosedived in the past. And obviously, the issue of Sam Burgess's walkout was still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
But they were prepared to talk about it. Everyone except for Latrell were prepared to address it. And did I notice they were unhappy? No. Did I notice tension between players? No. Did I notice, they didn't respond to Demetrio? No. But we also get a sanitised version of, what's really going on. We don't get to, sit with them in their team meetings or be there at every minute of every session. But I watched them train. They seemed happy enough. Jack Whiten was adding a real enthusiasm into that club.
Always good to bring in fresh blood.
I'm not part of that team. Like, we don't have the full access, but from what I saw, no, there didn't appear to be any major cracks. And I was, as a journo, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah,
100%. So, we'll move off the Demetrio thing. So I think it's going to keep playing out, and where it ends, who knows? But there was another blow up on the weekend, Des and Ricky. Lots being made of this, and they probably had a bit of a ta ta ta. But these two have known one another for a long period of time.
spoke to Ricky briefly yesterday. Said, mate, you're good. You know, Ricky is a master of theatre. You know, he's different to the way like a Wayne Bennett manipulates, or he's got a touch of how Gus used to do it back in the day. Just, you know, he knew when to give a good blow up, and so does Dez. Mm. Like you think Dez has lost 1,000 games in a row now, and he's not going well, but we're not talking about that right now.
Yeah, correct.
And also, guess who Dez is playing against this week?
Manly.
You reckon he didn't want some, you know, he's not going to put, you know, that he's unhappy with the refs, hoping to get a better run with the refs this week?
Yeah, he wants to win this game, doesn't he?
Well, speaking of Manly, let me ask you that. Schuster, now you broke this story. Is any club going to touch him?
Eventually they will. Yeah. Look, he's one of those guys who eventually someone will be willing to take a chance on him, because we've all seen there is no question that he's got ability. Right now, I'm not going to go deeply into what's going on with him, but I think we've just got to give him a bit of space, let him find himself, sort himself out. He's got a range of issues not related to football that he really needs to get on top of. And he deserves people's respect and people's ability to just back off a little bit and allow him to do that while he finds himself, while he rectifies things in his own head. And we've just got to let him do that. And I'm not going to be one of those people who sits there and bags Schuster, because I've got a bit of knowledge as to what's going on with him. And I think he just deserves our time and respect. And I hope that, you know, we want to see him do well, because he's one of those blokes who, you know, I remember when Benji in his heyday, I'm not saying he's Benji, but used to just want to watch whatever team Benji was playing for. And Schuster's a sort of individual, you know, it's an entertainer business. He's an entertainer when he can play, and we haven't seen enough of it yet. And he hasn't, you know, fulfilled everybody's expectations or his own, but hopefully he will. And the interesting thing is, there's been all this talk about a weight clause in his contract and this sort of thing, which is quite fascinating. But I've asked his management directly, and they say there is no such clause in his deal. But the journos aren't getting that story from nowhere. They're not making it up. So maybe there's an additional document or something that goes with it. I don't know, but I can't get a straight answer as to where this is coming from directly. But, you know, Manly will be in the process now of trying to negotiate their way out of this deal and trying to not have to pay top dollar, you know, for whatever happens. And we saw a really interesting situation with Zach Lomax's deal being just cancelled, which is, I didn't know you could just do that and then get out of cap obligations. Clearly you can, because the NRL approved it. So maybe Manly look to some sort of payout not have to worry about him on their cap anymore and going forward. But I just don't know how that gets past the NRL that easily.
I think that would be because it was by mutual agreement, wouldn't it?
Whereas, yeah, well,
Schuster mightn't want to go.
Well, Schuster's not, he's been told to look around, and clearly Manly don't want him.
Yeah.
So. Lomax's was, he wanted out. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out for itself, particularly with cap ramifications and whether Manly have to pay another club to have Schuster playing for them. And I do think they're looking at some sort of payout.
Yeah, right. So no, that'd make sense, because if he's on contract and then it's performance clauses, as they're...
We've got a massive contract.
Yeah, as they're suggesting, it's performance related or whatever related... there'd be some sort of a negotiation, I'd imagine. So, just back to Souths for one sec, and we forgot to ask you about this.
I thought we left them alone.
No, I thought I did too. But the other clubs and how the NRL are dealing with Luttrell and Cody, is there a bit of angst? And I forgot to ask you about that a little bit earlier on.
Sure, there is angst. I went up to Moree with Cody and Luttrell with the NRL a couple of weeks back, and they did a really positive thing for the community. But the number of clubs who I've complained to me about it, and maybe I think some of them even mentioned to the NRL, saying that, you know, the NRL Latrell's doing this, all this stuff that's not great either on or off the field with his swearing and everything else, and, you know, incidents involving other players with, you know, on the field. And they say, why is he being empowered in this way? Which I found, I really think that Latrell's got a broader role in the game other than just to lace up his boots. And people get angry when I say that. They criticise me for saying that we should be supporting his, you know, his community-minded spirit and the fact that he does a lot of good out there. But some clubs, they won't put their names to it, obviously, but they're saying, well, he's being wrongly empowered and being made bigger than he is, bigger than he should be. I can't agree with that. And nor can the NRL, because they think that they also think he's got a greater role. But yes, from, you know, he has to get the football right, right? That's the, you know, that's the big thing with him. And I guess that criticism wouldn't be there if he wasn't swearing or he wasn't, you know, hitting people with elbows and that sort of thing. So he does bring a little bit of that on himself, and I understand why there's anger, but I can't agree with the that he shouldn't be empowered or shouldn't have a greater role in the game, because it's so important. And if you watch him, again, people will say, oh, you're woke or you're a lefty or whatever. But, you know, if you watch him with Indigenous kids and all kids, actually, he's the one they want to talk to and gravitate towards. And,
yeah, he is amazing with them. There's no question.
It's just incredible. And yeah, for all the stuff that he gets criticised for, and I know a lot of it is justified, I get that. But to take away an element of his life that's important to him and others is wrong.
Well, that's, you certainly don't want him walking away from the sport. That's the thing that, you know, like he is so big in our sport. It's unbelievable. Mate, I want to just move on to Penrith. Taylan May, what's the situation? What's the latest with him now? From Penrith, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like I jinxed him a bit. I wrote something in my column about how Penrith are aware that he started a blog and showing his life. I don't even know really what a blog is, but it's a video sort of account of what he does day to day and an insight into his life. And they were watching it carefully and monitoring it and told him he's got to be careful. And I thought, okay, well, you know, good on him for engaging with the public in that way. And all of a sudden, Sunday afternoon, story breaks about him stupidly, you know, being a passenger in a car and filming and speeding and posting it. And I guess it's just another example of, you know, you've got to be aware of what you're doing on social media. And what he posted was pretty dumb, really, wasn't it? I mean, like, you don't encourage that sort of behaviour. So, yeah, dumb stuff. Is it the worst thing that anyone's put on social media? Probably not. But, you know, I feel like I jinxed him for, you know, saying that at least he's having a crack and trying to engage with his fans. So, hopefully, well, I don't know how the NRL will end up with this one. I know they're not particularly impressed, but he wasn't the driver. It's just more a bit of stupidity from a young bloke.
Looking forward to Dez's press conference ahead of the match against Manly later this week, though.
How short will it be, Mido? Can we put a stopwatch on it?
Yeah, he won't elaborate much, will he?
Will he even mention, man? Will he go down the Kevy Walters path of, you know, not mentioning the opposition or, you know, it will...
Who knows, mate? He could do anything. My favourite Dez story is when he started calling the referees Voldemorts.
Remember that? How good is that? That makes me laugh. Those who shall not be named, the Voldemorts. That was classic. That and ripping the door off, you know. But in all honesty, he's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played a bit better. Again, they showed some spirit, a bit like South. But that they're man, I didn't think they'd be as bad as they are.
How many years has he signed there, Danny? What's he, 3 years?
Good question. Good. I bet you there's a clause or two. But I think it's... Well, he wouldn't have gone there for a couple of years, you'd imagine. I'd have to research that. But, yeah, it's going to be... I like what Dez brings to the game. I love what Ricky brings to the game. Yeah, these sort of hardened old coaches who... They get it, you know. Mate, like Dez press conferences, you almost need a translator or subtitle, don't you? Like, what he does, he deliberately talks in his hushed, sort of mumbled tones, and leaves large gaps between what he says, so you can't use his grabs for TV. So that the gaps in what in his sentences are too long to put on television, unless you somehow can speed up what he's saying. And he does it on he knows he does it on purpose.
Clever.
Thank you, Danny. Well,
thanks for having
me, guys. Enjoy the week.
See ya.
So this morning in the English Premier League, it was, well, carnage at Stamford Bridge because Chelsea absolutely destroyed Everton 6-0. Cole Palmer, 4 goals for Chelsea. So that is just an absolute pasting there this morning. And what that all means as far as the table is concerned, well, Everton, who are fighting against well, points deductions at the moment, they had an initial 10-point deduction reduced to 6 points. And then they've had a further 2-point deduction, which they're appealing and is hoping to be heard imminently. And as it stands, though, they are only 2 points above the relegation zone. 27 points. You got Nottingham Forest on 26 points and then Luton Town on 25. And Burnley are on 20 and Sheffield United on 16. It looks like those two will all but certainly be going down. Burnley, unless they can string, what, 2 or 3 wins together to get back out of it. But Everton being dragged back into that relegation area. Now, Chelsea, with that win, 47 points, and they've only played 31 games, but they're in 9th position. They're still nowhere near 4th place. And if you're talking Europe, well, Tottenham are in 5th on 60 points, 13 ahead of them as well. Getting towards late in the season, of course, only a handful of games left for each club. Last night, the Ollie Roos started their under-23 Asian Cup campaign. They played out a scoreless draw against Jordan. That was in Qatar overnight as well. Now, shortly we're going to speak to horse trainer slash boxer Mitch Leake coming up. Trains out of Pakenham in Victoria. And, well, he's got a 9-0 record in the boxing ring and he's got a big fight coming up. So we'll speak with him. We'll get Brad Davidson's thoughts on day two of the championships as well. Kevin Walters, the Broncos coach, will join us just after the 8 o'clock news this morning as well. Just some AFL news. No surprise, West Coast gun Harley Reid. He was the rising star nomination for round 5 for his 27 disposals in the 39-point win over Richmond. Some big games this week. Carlton GWS. The Lions are up against Geelong, Collingwood, Port Adelaide as well. And I see that Hawthorn champion Jason Dunstall is to be elevated to legend status in the Australian Football Hall of Fame. 4 premierships. He kicked 1,254 goals across 269
awesome.
Games in
awesome.
Some career, wasn't it, yeah. Jason Dunstall?
Very well deserved.
Average, so that's an average of 4.66 per game, goals per game he kicked over the course of his career. Of course, the game was different back then. The big power forwards dominated the game.
Lockett, didn't and Ablett, and whatnot. He's a legend. I actually met him. I don't know if you've met Jason.
I met him once, but it was more like a hello.
Lovely fella.
Yeah, very much so.
Genuinely nice fella, and I'm no expert, but looked like a wonderful footballer.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Just on the Masters fallout as well, I saw Jason Day yesterday said that, he said he made a mistake not going to Rio in 2016, and this time for the Paris Games, if he's in, he will play for sure. Now, Adam Scott's ruled himself out, but it looks like Day's all but a certainty based on the rankings. That means you've got Minwoo Lee, Cam Davis and Cam Smith fighting for the other spot.
Mm.
So 2 men, 2 women qualify.
Mm.
Smith's number 68 in the world. This is there'll be an adjustment now after the Masters.
He'll go up.
So 68, Minwoo Lee's 32, Cam Davis is 62. The thing is, those two won't go down a considerable way in the rankings, I wouldn't have thought.
Davis won't.
Minwoo Lee might a bit,
enough. Yeah, maybe not enough.
But I think that because they're playing on the PGA Tour, won't their rankings, subject to them playing well, they'll get rankings points, whereas Smith goes back to the LIV Tour and doesn't get rankings.
When do they make the decision, though? That's the thing. When does that? Because it'll be a cut-off date, obviously, to say, right, you're in. When is that?
Well, I think we get all the majors in before the Olympics.
Right, so then that'll give them more points.
Who makes the decision? The AOC? Or is it the PGA? Or is it?
Well, I think it's the Australian PGA.
Right, so it's someone in golf that makes
it would
decision.
I'm sure it would be like, it's like in any sport, soccer, basketball, it would be
their own team, the
coach or the power in that sport. Mm. They would pick their own team, athletics, swimming, all of that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And when,
but
when
then it's got to be ratified and everything.
When golf came into the games, that's what they said they'd do.
Yeah.
We'll just pick our top two ranked players in the world at that time. Well, I'm sure they've got their own cutoff date.
Mm.
And, yeah, so it looks like it'll be Jason Day says he's going, plus... Well, you know, let's face it, it should be Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
But because of the ridiculous situation we're in as far as golf rankings are concerned, that may not be the case. Tiger Woods, though, insisted the warring parties are headed in the right direction in the hopes of finding a resolution. But I'll believe it when I see it. How you get all that mess together.
Seems to be a lot of egos in the way at the moment.
Money.
There's a lot of money in the way.
Ego, money. Yeah. It's all about money, isn't it?
John Rahm's the most interesting one for me because he was adamant against LIV, right? And then jumped ship and is now on the LIV tour. Where does he sit with the whole thing?
Rich.
Well.
He's won a Masters now. He's probably just, yeah, pretty happy, but, isn't he?
I mean, we've said it before. It's just not good for the sport. No one wants it. You know, we saw our Super League wars and we've seen it so much before. There would be reasons why both work. I get it. Mm. And some people will love this one and some people are. But it's not fair to the punters. It's not fair to the fans. And it's just something needs to be done.
What about the old shark? He had to buy a ticket. Did you read that story?
Yeah.
Greg Norman.
I know.
Wearing all the
attire.
Yeah, attire.
Walking around,
well,
shaking hands with people.
Gee, he loves shaking it up, doesn't he?
He wasn't on the ticket list.
No, yeah. couldn't get a free couple of free ones. Poor old shark.
He's all right.
He's good enough too. Okay, about to join us, Mitch Leake. So trains out of Pakenham, as I mentioned, 24 years of age, 9-0 record in the ring. Fights Adrian Rodriguez for the vacant Australian middleweight title Saturday, May 4th. So not too far away, less than a month, coming up in Melbourne. Mitch, a very good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. Yeah, really good. How are you guys?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Appreciate your time. Now, all I can think of when I'm thinking boxing and horse training, I mean, how do you accommodate both? What does a typical day for you look like at the moment?
Oh, look, it's, she's a pretty full-on schedule at the moment. I was up at just before 5 this morning, and I'm down at the track now. I've just jumped in the car to speak to you boys, but we're down at the track galloping horses, getting them ready for Saturday and a few races around the place. So I'm down here now, and I'll finish up here in a couple of hours, and I'll head into training.
You head into training. You obviously do a lot of form with the horses that you train and who they're racing against. What do you know about your opponent in the boxing world?
Look, he's a former Australian champion. He's pretty durable, pretty tough. He's never been stopped. He comes in with his hands up and comes in to fight. I know that's one thing about him. He'll never say no to a fight and he'll never take a backward step. So, he's a pretty tough opponent. And, I think he's going to really be coming forward and trying to take that belt.
Mitch, as a trainer and a boxer, like you said, you've got to juggle so much. Is that plan like, yes, I want to do this for long term, short term? Are you picking one over the other? How do you juggle it all?
Look, to be honest with you, I do weigh it up a fair bit, and it's got to be really well balanced. And I've got a great team around me that helped me do that. I'm lucky to have the boys down at Team Alice that really help work around my schedule with the horses and really working with me. I'm very blessed and very lucky to have them being so flexible. Look, it's a balancing act. You've got to be careful. I try not to get too many horses around when I'm fighting. I really mainly focus in on my race horses, and I do a bit of breaking and pre-training as well. So I sort of slow down on the breaking and pre-training a little bit and really hone in on the race horses, morely so, just to get my numbers down and just try and balance it out.
Do you think there comes a point in time where you have to make a decision? I'm not saying that you shouldn't do both, but... mate, if your boxing career kicks off, your training career kicks off, who knows?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. I'm pretty lucky. I'm in the position I'm in. My dad's a trainer, my mum's a trainer. So if there's ever that time where I need to go off somewhere for a camp or go do something, it puts me in a fantastic spot where they can always fill my role and fill my boots for those months or whatever I'm away, and they know their job pretty well. So I'm in a great spot.
Your dad John trains plenty of horses. How's this going for him?
Yeah, look, he's got plenty there, and they're flying. So, yeah, look, he loves the boxing. He follows it and watches everything I do with a very close eye. He's like he's almost like my manager in the corner. He watches everything we're doing and goes over everything. But, yeah, look, he was born and bred into the horses, and I think it goes back 3 or 4 generations of racing in our family. So, yeah, it's just all second nature to him.
I love it. We got a text on the text line from the Grassman. Can you ask Mitch if any jockeys arc up at him after he sprays them for a bad ride?
No, I haven't had to give too many bakes out.
What a shock!
Most of the jockeys I'm good mates with, so I pick the moments. But nah, look, they're all good there. Look, everyone's out there having a crack. At the end of the day, there's 12 to 14 horses plus in a field, and everyone's trying to win, so it's pretty competitive, and everyone can only do their best.
Anything that you're training at the moment, our listeners keep an eye out for?
Oh, look, there's, I think Castro Francari went over the steeples on Sunday. I think coming into the May Carnival over at Warrnambool, I think he's going to be one to follow. He ran super. He got within 2.5 lengths of Stern Idol. And I think we get the sting out of the track and getting a bit of twisting and turning happening. He could end up a hell of a lot closer. So I think it's going to be one to definitely watch out for. And yeah, I think there might be a couple, one run around on Saturday of dads that goes well. So, look, they're all coming along. They're all in their little races where they need to be and just sort of pushing through the grades.
Mitch, back to the boxing career. What's the end goal, or what are you wanting to achieve? Is there a belt or something you're looking for?
Look, we're just going as far as we can. Look, we'd love to be on the world stage, and that's what we're working towards. We're taking each fight as they come. You just got to keep winning. At the end of the day, that's the ruthless side of boxing. If you're not winning, you're not taking steps forward, and you need to keep winning to take those steps. I think the Australian title, it is the most prestigious belt in Australia to win. If we win that, we've sort of got all the belts in Australia, sort of regionally, that we can win. We've got the Victorian strap, the Australasian, and this will sort of be the end one for Australia, winning the Australian title. And then from there, we start looking at more international belts and things like that to hopefully sort of get world ranked and onto that world scene. So if we can start getting onto there, I think it's going to put me in a really good spot.
Where did the boxing bug come from for you, Mitch?
Funny enough, I was well into my footy, and I was playing seniors and getting pushed around and hit around a little bit. My old man said I need to get down and learn how to fight, because one day one of these older boys is going to pick me up and throw me over a fence and I won't know what to do. And yeah, pretty soon I started boxing, and then I actually had a couple of years off after I learnt it all, and then I thought I'll have a crack and get fit again, and it just sort of hit me, and once I caught the bug, it was not going away.
Who's the fighter you love watching most at the moment?
Well, I'll tell you, I love watching the heavyweights. I named my dog after Anthony Joshua. His name's AJ. And I named my horse after Tyson Fury. His name's Fury. So I love watching the big heavyweights. But you go down the divisions and look, even the Australian. I love watching Australian boxing at the moment. Like, it's so strong and there's so much depth to it, with George Kambosos, Tim Zhu, Jai Opatia. Could be probably one of the best boxers Australia's had for a long time in a cruiserweight division. There's so much depth to Australian boxing right now. It's in a really exciting spot.
As a boxer, the Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Talk to me about that. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, I think it's very, very controversial, that fight. I think for a person like Jake Paul, I think it's a lose-lose situation. You get knocked out by Mike Tyson, you've just got knocked out by a 58 or 9-year-old. And if you knock him out, it's no one's going to like him anyway. I think Mike Tyson's most people's heroes, and everyone looks up to as a formidable killer in the ring. He gets in there and he throws bombs. I think it's a lose-lose situation, but if I wanted someone to win, it'd be definitely Mike Tyson. I think he's a beast, and I think to see him go out and have a crack at that age and still be throwing hands, it's an incredible job.
It'll certainly garner some interest, because there's been plenty of people talking about that. What have you got to do before your next fight to be ready? What's the modus operandi?
We got some rounds on Saturday, and we've got 2 sparring sessions left. And then I'll probably pick up a little bit more running and sprints work and sort of die down the longer runs. And we're pretty well there. We start getting our weight down a little bit more and get right on weight. We're pretty well on top of it now. So look, it's all in the fine tuning stages now. We sharpen up and we get ready to start fighting. We go to Warrnambool on the 30th of April for Brierley, and that's on the Tuesday. We've got the annual on the Thursday. We weigh in on the Friday and we fight Saturday, so she's going to be a big week.
Yeah, it will be indeed. Just a reminder for our listeners, so Mitch Leek takes on Adrian Rodriguez, the vacant Australian middleweight title, Saturday, May 4 in Melbourne at the end of the week of Warrnambool, when we'll keep a good eye particularly on a horse called Castra Frencaru, which has won more than $200,000 in prize money, and we'll see it running around all going well. During the Warrnambool meeting that week. Mitch, great to talk to you, mate. A lot going on and all power to you. Go well and hopefully you win that title next month.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much for having me on and hopefully chat soon.
Great stuff. Mitch Leek there, trainer slash boxer. Don't see that too
what
much.
A mix.
Well, we've got caller slash boxer in Luke Marlowe, who's was given his nickname. I saw him post on social media ahead of his looming charity fight. The elusive, was that what it was? The elusive Luke Marlowe.
He gave it to himself? Or?
No, I think it was given to him by the...
By his brother.
The elusive. I've heard of better ones.
He's a good man, Luke. We love Luke.
Luke's a great man.
Yeah, elusive Luke Marlowe. That's him.
I think we need to... Can we change that?
Well, you can take it up with him. Look, the graphic's already done.
Like there's Iron Mike and there's, you know, all that type of stuff. And then there's the elusive. What does that mean? He dances around the ring, no one can hit him.
He might not show up.
Brad Davids is next. Brad Davidson, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Very well, thank you. Unbelievable day two of the championships on Saturday. Okay, let's unwrap this Queen Elizabeth Stakes, one of the most intriguing races we've seen at Royal Randwick in some time. Pride of Jenny. A lot of opinions out there. What's yours on what transpired there on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, quite phenomenal, wasn't it, Jared? I haven't seen anything like it on a racetrack in my years in the game. I know I'm still quite young. I haven't, been around forever. But, it was just phenomenal. I mean, to do what Declan Bates did, take off. And he probably had to do it in a way, didn't he? Because the horse was quite keen on the day. She was quite fizzed up. And he thought, all right, we'll let her go. And, quite remarkable to see her get that far in front and to win by that far as well. I guess how good she was probably just as good as how bad the rest were too. I mean, they just went too slow, didn't they? It's a bit like the tearaway leader in the Tour de France and the peloton forgetting to chase. And that's what it kind of felt like there on the weekend. They left their run far too late. Nobody wanted to be there. I guess the one that carted them up to the rest of the field, but they had to go a lot earlier than they did, and they just left it far too late. So, phenomenal win, but a few disappointing rides back in the pack as well.
It's interesting after when James McDonald in the Beaten Jockeys comments just said, embarrassing. Do you think he was possibly even just referring to himself and everyone else?
I think he was probably referring to those not kicking up and getting him closer to the leader a long way out. But having said that, I've heard quite a bit of commentary on this and people say, well, it's not someone else's job to do that. If J-Mac wanted to take off, then he could have done that himself. And I kind of agree with that. It's not someone else's job the cart versus the centre in the race if they don't want to at the end of the day. So, you know, I get what they're saying. There was a lot of frustration in how far they got back. But it was up to one of those jockeys to go, okay, if no one else is going to do it, then let's take off and let's get going. And they didn't do that.
Classic pub argument. Do you reckon Winx would have beaten Jenny, Pride of Jenny, on Saturday?
It's one that's been bandied about a bit, Jared, after that performance. And look, I think the key is if they rode Winx like they did Via Sestina and that she was that far off them, I think it really would have been a 50-50 call. Dan O'Sullivan, who's a tremendous ratings judge, actually did a bit of a hypothetical on social media, and basically he's gone back and looked at the slowly run races over 2000 that Winx had been in and said, you know, the performances that she'd had to produce that last 600, last 800, she probably would have won, you know, 2 or 3 out of 8 of them, and the rest probably lost. That's how far back they got. Having said that, if it was a race where they got their normal positions, the time that Pride of Jenny run, Winx would have won with a leg in the air. So, just it all depends on, you know, the tactics and where they would have got. But it would have been fascinating to see had that been the case.
Certainly would have been. Okay, on other races on Saturday, the Sydney Cup and Circle of Fire in its fourth run in Australia, stepping up third up to the 2,600 wins, the chairman's on a heavy 9, and then in the Sydney Cup, backing up a week later and winning over the 3,200 at Group 1. I've got a feeling this could be a big player in, well, a very big race in the spring as well, Davo. What do you make of Circle of Fire?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jared. You know, not many do the Sydney Cup, Melbourne Cup double, but this horse is a genuine chance of doing that. He's such a good stayer. I mean, he sat 3 wide, no cover there. He worked mid-race. And he still won and won easily running away from at the end. So he just looks like a really progressive 2 mile stayer. Can't wait to see him back in the spring. And all honours, Circle of Fire. He was far too good for his rivals on Saturday.
And for all the commentary around the jockeys on Saturday, James McDonald took out the Nathan Berry medal.
He did. And I think he probably cemented himself. If there were any questions, Jared, as the best rider in Australia, there were a few sort of coming into the champion saying that Blake Shin and a few others are riding just as well, if not better than him. But I think we saw him the Queen of the Turf there on Saturday. He's done it a few times. He's just outridden Blake Shin, simple as that. He did it. Blake Shin got held up on a tissue. He gave Zoo Gotcha the absolute perfect run. And we saw it in the Derby. The difference in the Derby was the rides. Riff Rocket he was on. And, of course, Chow Wolf. Blake Shin didn't do a lot wrong on Chow Wolf. He did on a tissue. He just got held up at a crucial stage and probably should have found the back of a Zoo Gotcha in hindsight. But, he clearly showed he's Australia's premier jockey there over the championships.
And, this weekend, it's no worse. Always a really good day's racing, all-age stakes day and the champagne as well. And, the all-age day, every year this comes around, I go, just go and have a look at the horses that have won this race. This is a good horses race.
Yeah, it is a good horses race and shaping up to be a good race again this year. Espiona gets her chance after being luckless in the TJ. She's favourite at this stage. Sunshine in Paris, Southport Tycoon, the others at the top of betting there at the moment. And in the champagne, Manal and Linebacker, the two that are clearing out at this stage. But, broadsiding was super there on the weekend. So if he backs up, he's got to be a chance too.
What are you forgiving and following out of the weekend as well?
Look, I think there's a few to follow. Broadsiding looks a lovely middle distance horse in the making. If it's not this weekend, I think he's a lovely horse for next prep. Elmer Zillow, I thought, was outstanding in the Percy Sykes for a Queensland campaign. Circle of Fire, just stick with him in the spring. The tissue was a moral beaten and is absolutely flying. And Mr. Kipchoge, I thought, might be a Queensland Derby horse if they go that way. I'm not sure what their plans are, but he hit the line really well fresh. And in the forgive file, Eternal Flame was held up late and the tempo was against Via Sestina. I thought probably ran as well as she could, Jared, considering the how far back she got. And it was impossible almost to win from where she was. You had to be Winx. Willinga Beast was held up in the provincial midway final, and Maharaj and Rainville both pulled up lane there on Saturday.
And West Coast are off the mark, Davo. Good weekend for you.
It was, yeah. Look, surprising, but good to see a bit of fight. And, gee, Harley Reid's going to be
a star
for some time, isn't he? And the way he breaks pack open, it reminds me a lot of Chris Judd, watching him early on. So, look, let's hope we can keep him. That's probably the thing now. But, good to see the Eagles finally get a win, Jared.
No, good on you, mate. And have a good day.
Thanks, guys.